The West Cork Fit Up Theatre Festival, something of an institution down south. Demands of the audience, long drives along some challenging roads in West Cork, and the dramatic terrain of the Sheephead and Berra Peninsulas. It may even involve a bit of a ferry ride to one of the islands, Hare, Beer, Sherkin, Cape Clear and Whiddy Island. The rewards, however, include a chance to see some of our top actors perform in new or revived shows. The 2019 Fit Up is in its second month. Performing tonight in Timoleague Community Hall is Michael Murphy in his one-man show, The Man in the Woman's Shoes. And tomorrow night, he brings I Hear You and Rejoice to the Community Hall in Kilcrohan on Sheep's Head. Joining me now on the line is the organiser of the West Cork Fit Up, Jeff Gould of Blood in the Alley. And Jeff set up the festival in 2009. Where am I? You're on the phone, Jeff. Where am I speaking to you? Where are you right now?
I'm outside the graveyard in Timoleague because you cannot get service anywhere else in this town. It's belting rain, it's very foggy, and there's a big old Thermo King frozen truck ready to kick in. And if it kicks in, I swear to God, I'll strangle him. It's always the same way when you want a little bit of peace and quiet in the middle of nowhere, you can't get it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were looking for a big truck, you couldn't find one, but there's one there right now. He better not start the engine, and no planes better fly overhead. That's the other thing that happens when you're recording things. They suddenly appear out of nowhere. Listen, the Fit Up Festival, Jeff, you started this back up 10 years ago now, 2009, you set yourself some challenges travelling around with to venues that sometimes can be hard to get to, let's face it. What were you thinking of, or what was the plan back then?
Well, I had toured Catalpa, Donal O'Kelly's Catalpa, to Newfoundland in about 2009. And the Gros Morne Festival, Gros Morne is a tiny village with just a church and a pub. And they ran a festival for 4 months there, non-stop. And I thought, my God, we could do this in Ballydehob. I'd also grown up, my grandfather, a very mild-mannered man called Geoffrey O'Donoghue, and he was from the Curra in Clonakilty, Bounsey, Michael Collins' land. And he and three friends of his built the first fit-up shed. It's still there, a big old green shed out of an eyes on the side of the road for the fit-up in the 1950s. A woman called Rosie and the Red Caravan used to wander around in an old van and put up a tent, which was always raining. And they thought, isn't that awful? No, we better put up a galvanised shed for next time she's through. And they actually got excommunicated from the church for a year, if you can imagine that. No.
They got excommunicated. Was it the colour of the shed? Or what was the problem?
No, I think it was the potential goings-on in the shed.
Once inside.
It so it was kind of a Jimmy's Hall, really, eventually. You know, they might have put it up for the fit-ups, but the fit-ups were only around once a year. But then the old dances started, you know. No, God be good to my grandfather. He was the mildest man in the man. Two glasses of sherry a year to fare, and he'd be tipsy. So he was more interested in books and literature and theatre, but unfortunately himself and the three were given the door. Only for a year now, mind you. But at least they fought the cause for 1 year, you know.
So did they have to confess eventually? And get back in, or do you know how they got back in?
I think they were granted leniency. They actually stood their ground because they didn't feel they had done anything wrong. So I think it was a little bit of a step down, but privately done, if you know what I mean. They crept back bit by bit to the local church. My aunt will kill me now if they're listening to this, but there you go.
But obviously, whatever they put on, presumably then, in that green shed over the period of that first year didn't cause too much trouble to the powers that be at the time. I mean, did you act in the fit-ups then yourself at any point along the way?
Oh, God, no. If I acted in the fit-ups, I'd be 96 now. So I'm still from the 1950s. And I can't act. Anyone will tell you I'm the worst actor around. But I suppose listening to stories from my mum and then the Gros Morne trip and the fact that the recession was in and we were all out of work, I brought the wonderful Joan Sheehy in an old battered 94 Renault around me, and we did the first show, and then Michael Harding did the second show, and Don Witchley and Dennis Foley did the third show, on no budget, no kind of money, and a couple of lamps, and it kind of started from there, really. Now, I was inspired, I have to admit, okay? About 2 years earlier, I had written to an eminent critic in Dublin to ask her to review a show in Cork. Now, I knew her and I'd worked with her, and she sent me an email saying that she felt the work in Cork wasn't kind of worth reviewing, really. And then she said to me that in the email, which I still have framed on my desk, that down south we really needed a bit of an education. And education was in capitals. That we should be visiting the city more often to see proper theatre. So I bit my tongue, and as my grandmother used to say, you know, there's very little point in flatulating against thunder. So I put it away and buried it. And 15 years later, she can rest easy because our audiences down south have seen 47 new plays in 11 years, and they are the most educated, audience in the country with regard to contemporary theatre, and that educators is in capitals.
And there you go. And I guess what you have done is you have taken some of the, you know, it's generally revived, sometimes new work, but generally revived work or work that has been successful, and you think, you know what, I want to bring this to the communities around West Cork. That's what I want to do. Is that kind of what spurs you on, or what the part of the impetus is?
Well, we do an awful lot of new work as well now, Sean. We don't just do the revives. Like, we Tim Creed's brand new play the first week, that's gone to Edinburgh. Erica Murray's superb play that was in the Edinburgh Fringe. And, like, there are three shows now that have left here to go to Edinburgh, including Pat Kinnaman's wonderful Before, which just won that amazing award.
Won the Archangel Award, didn't he, yeah?
Exactly, you know, so, and Pat has been an incredible support to the festival. So, like, 7 years ago, we were getting Silence straight from Edinburgh. The Peacock didn't get it till 4 years later. So, you know, I mean, Dunleary, for instance, are getting Pat's four shows in early September, except the 10th, 11th, 12th. We've had those four shows, like, over the last 5 years. So West Cork audiences are ahead of the Dublin audiences in one sense, just more by luck than anything else.
I think one of the important things for you, Jeff, is cost. It's the cost of actually going to the theatre, and that can be off-putting for some people. You wanted to kind of break that barrier down.
Yeah, I always found, I was conscious that I contributed to the situation. I'm an artistic director in The Everyman, so I can't speak without having that stone in that glass house. But I felt that ticket prices are miles too high for audiences. Like, I mean, in most cases now, to go to see any good show, like, for instance, John Kenny's show was with us 2 weeks ago, and you can get in here for 12.50 and 15. He goes into the Olympia, and it's €29. Now, it is worth seeing, so I'm not anybody who gets a chance, go and see this fabulous show called Crowman. But, like, it's too expensive. If I spend €35 on two tickets, that's €70, and another 30 on a babysitter, and that's before I have even had a pint. I really want my, like, I can go to see the Rolling Stones on my own for that, you know. So, like, it's a lot of money, and I think it's just outpriced itself.
And how do you manage to keep the costs down then, Jeff? Do you drive a hard bargain with the companies when they're coming down, or how do you manage to actually pay people and get people to go at these prices?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that, to be fair to the audience, they're coming into an old hall with old seats. So, and to be fair to the venues have high overheads. I don't. But I don't pay myself 70,000 a year either. You know what I mean? So I pay myself the same as the tech and the actors. We all get the same over 5 weeks. And I've also been very lucky that the companies and the actors I deal with have been exceptionally good to me as regards rates. They get it and they love it. And the likes of Pat Kinnaman and lots more, Fish Amble, Rough Magic, they've been really good to us as regards going, yeah, look, we get where you're coming from, and we get that you're not making a fortune out of us and you're getting over the road. So I couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, and the other side of it is, though, however, you possibly have logistics to deal with that venues in bigger cities and in towns don't have to deal with. Getting to the islands, for example, travelling around, taking stuff with you.
Oh, yeah, we have three vans on the road now at certain stages. We have to bring our own lights, our own sound, our own crew, our own staging. And remember now, like, a lot of companies coming down from Dublin to work with us, they come with huge trucks and loads of gear, and you're looking, the Abbey came down over the show a few years ago, and you're looking at them going, the ferry to Hare Island takes 12 people. You know, it doesn't. You can't drive onto it. You're going to have to unload all that gear, unload it at the other site, get it to the venue over there, and the same at 11 o'clock tonight in the dark. So, like, the logistics for us are, we keep it to an absolute bare minimum. The stage, the lights, we have about four lamps. You know yourself from being on stage that, you know, it's lovely to have two lamps of different colours, but in the end of the day, it is down to the actor and a powerful script. Powerful performance, powerful script, we have no bells and whistles.
Yeah, well, I never minded as long as they had my light with them. That was my rule on that one, Jeff.
I'd say you'd find the light fairly easy now.
Getting to the islands, has that ever proven to be, you know, have you been in situations where simply the weather, if half the stuff has gone over with the 12 people on the ferry and the other 12 people are bringing the other half, and they can't make it, you know, the weather doesn't pay any heed to theatre and its needs necessarily?
No, I last Friday night we cancelled Shirkin because there was a five-metre swell. So we can't take a risk on audiences and cast going over and that and coming back at 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
So you lose the show. And in a lot of occasions at 11 or 12, we hit a lightning storm, electrical storm coming off the islands 2 weeks ago. And it was so bad that nearly every single audience member had a box going up the gangplank to try and get the gear in as quick as they could into the vans. So that was kind of extraordinary, you know. So we ended up with like 50 audience members and 42 techies. It was brilliant, you know.
Okay, so
that's been kind of a bit mad.
The tickets may be a bit cheaper, but you might have to carry a bit of equipment along the way to help things out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, there's a few things like, now, to be fair, they're great. They all volunteer, yeah. You know. And we don't have any age limits. Like if you're 83 and you're healthy, take a box, you know. So we're not fussy, but at the same time, our audience members get it. They get how hard we work to get stuff out there, and at the same time, then they know that, look, you know, this is what it is. You can't book tickets for it, so they have to just hope that they can get in the door when they arrive, and they all arrive early. They're brilliant, you know.
All right, and Michael Murphy on tonight with The Man in the Woman's Shoes, as I said, which was there last year, but people wanted to see it again, obviously. And I Hear You Rejoice is moving on then to the Community Hall in Kilcrohan on Sheep's Head. That's tomorrow, isn't it? And you have a few more dates before the end of the week, I guess.
Yeah, we finish in Ballydehob with a bang on Friday night with The Man in the Woman's Shoes, and Sunday night in Ballydehob as well. And Michael's going on to Gorey in the Little Theatre as well. He kidded me if I didn't mention. So you go. Yeah, there, 28th of September. Well, it's been an amazing season, and the audiences are just coming in their droves, and we're very pleased with the reaction to the shows.
That's great, Jeff. Thanks a million for that. You can tell your man he can start up his truck now and head off home if he wants. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Owen.
All the best.
Good luck.
All the best. Jeff Gould there. And Jeff was speaking to me about the Fit Up Festival, and you can find out more information about that on fit-uptheatrefestival.com.